Parsha Shoftim, we are up to Pasuk Beis. Okay, Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis, Ki Motzei V'Chebucha B'Echad Sherecha. We discussed yesterday the Mum and the Toeva. So up to Pasuk Beis. Pasuk, again, Shoftim, Perek Tes, Perek Yud Zayin. Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Beis. Mayor, you have a special camera just for Tamari? You have a special phone just for her? Okay, we are over here, Pasuk Beis. Ki Matzei V'chirbicha B'yachad Sherech. If you find in your B'chirbicha, you find in your midst, in one of your gates, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Loch, which Hashem has given you, Isha Yisha Shayasin Hasara B'yinei Hashem Elokecha Lavar Briso. A person that has violated, he has done evil in the eyes of Hashem to la'avar, to transgress Hashem's beris. What does this mean? Let's see Rashi. Rashi, there's only one short Rashi. La'avar es berisoi. Asher koras Hashem itchem sheloi la'avoid elilim. Hashem has forged a covenant. Rashi here doesn't just tell us that it's a mitzvah. We would expect Rashi to say that there's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah here, there's a mitzvah to Eloisa say not to worship idols. Over here, Rashi adds in an extra expression that worshiping idols is not just an aveira. To worship an idol, you are violating a covenant, a bris. Where did Rashi get that? That's what the pasuk says. Rashi is telling us the obvious. La'avar b'risoi, asher karas Hashem itchem sheloi la'avoid elilim. It's a very important pasuk and a very important Rashi, because it's basically saying that there are different types of mitzvahs. Not all mitzvahs are the same. We know bris mila. Bris mila is fundamental. It's the bris avram. Bris a covenant. We know that, Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is also a fundamental mitzvah. It's the Zechiv Karis. A person does not bring the Karban Pesach. It's the carbon which captures our beginning, the Yitzias Mitzrayim. Not every mitzvah is the same. That's the way it is. Shabbos. If a person is Shomer Shabbos, even if he does all of the other averos, he eats non kosher, and he does everything Shloi Kedin, but he's Shomer Shabbos, he's good. He's good, he's part of Klal Yisrael, but if a person is meticulous in every single thing in the Torah, but when it comes to Shabbos, he does not put the program, then he's out. So we know that not every mitzvah is the same. Here when it comes to Avodah Zarah, the Pasuk is telling us over here that Avodah Zarah is not just an ordinary Lo Yisaseh, Avodah Zarah is a bris. And if you don't observe Shabbos, and if you don't observe Avodah Zarah, you're in violation of the bris. Okay, let's see the Targum. Targum Pasuk Beis says, "Are yishtekach beinach, if it will be found among you, bechado min kirvach, in one of your cities, can one of your cities?" Okay, that's what the rest says. That says in the pasuk, "Da Hashem elokoch yohiv loch givar, a man, oy ito, or a woman, diaved yos devish." He does devish. Devish means something which is embarrassing, busha. And here it's called Ra. Here it's a translation for evil. Kodom Hashem Elokach limibar al kiyomei, to violate the kiyomei, the bris. Okay, so it's pretty straightforward. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Gimel, and he goes, Vayavod, he worships Elohim Achirim, other gods, Vayishtachu Lohem, he bows down to them, Velashemesh, or to the sun, O la yoreach, O lechol tzvo hashamayim, asher loy tzivisi, which I did not command. What? What did I not command? Rashi, asher loy tzivisi le'ovdom. I did not command you to worship them, to serve them. Okay, so you have to add a word into the pasuk. According to Rashi, you have to add a word into the pasuk. You have a similar idea in the pasuk that it says by Avraham Avinu, Yikiyadativ, Leman Asher Yitzaveh Ezbonav Yezbeisoy, Lasois Asher Yitzave Esbeisoi. So there it says by Avraham Avinu, Asher Yitzave Esbeisoi. To do what? He commanded his home. To do what? The same way in this pasuk, the word Asher Lo Tzivisi demands that we add a word into the pasuk, Tzivisi Le'avdam. Likewise, when it says concerning Avraham Avinu, Hashem loves Avraham Avinu because Asher Yitzaveh, it's the same exact expression, Yitzaveh Esbeisoi, Lishmar Derech Hashem. Yitzaveh Esbeisoi means Yitzaveh Le'avdoi. It's the same example, same type of example, okay, to serve Hashem. Now let's see the Targum, Pasuk Gimel, the Targum, Vazal goes, this man goes, Vlachni worships, Lito Vos, Amemaya. He goes and he worships Elohim Acherim. Now this is a very important Targum. The Targum doesn't just translate the words literally. It says here, Elohim Acherim. What does it mean, Acherim? The Targum translates, this is a very, very important Targum. Because this Targum, if not mistaken, is not like Rashi, not in this pasuk. Because Rashi here does not explain it over here. But over here, the Targum says, Acherim means the Am Maya, nations of the world. Rashi says, let's go back maybe to the Aseres HaDibros very quickly. In Parashas for Eschanan, in the Aseres HaDibros, the pasuk, it says, Lo yilcho Elohim Acherim. What does it mean, Elohim Acherim, in the Aseres HaDibros? Okay, I'm going to Parashas for Eschanan. Let me see if I can find the Aseres HaDibros. Okay. No, I'm having a hard time finding it. Tamari can tell me what perek and pasuk, chapter and verse.
Five twenty
indeed is the end of the Aseres HaDibros. Okay, the pasuk that I'm looking for is the beginning of the Aseres HaDibros. Lo yihye lecha Elohim Acherim. Rashi, is there a Rashi over here? Elohim Ach pasuk Zayin. No, there is no Rashi. So let's now go to Parshas Yisro. Okay, I'm going to go to Parshas Yisro and see what it says over there. Bo, Bo'er B'Shalach Yisro. Okay.
Try Chaf in Yisro.
Yes, Chaf in Yisro. Loi Sasun. Yeah, very good. She's on the mark. Loi Sasun Iti Elohei Chesef Elohei Zav Lo Sasu Lechem. Do not make idols. Indeed, that is a pasuk about Avodah Zarah. Okay, let me just go a little bit back to the beginning of the Aseres HaDibros. Lo yihya lecha Elohim Acherim. Rashi. This is Pasuk Gimel. Rashi. Elohim Acherim. She'enon Elohus. They are not gods. Ela Acherim Asoum Elohim Acherim. Other people made them gods upon them. So Rashi, v'lo yitachin lefarish Elohim acherim zulasi, other gods, sheginayhu klapi maila likrois Elohus etzloi, dover acher, I'm just reading Rashi very quickly, Elohim acherim, sheheim, this is really the Rashi I was referring to, sheheim acherim le'oivdehem, the people that worship these gods, the God does not respond. There is no reciprocation. In life, it's all about reciprocation. You always hear about people, couples who fight, and they go to a marriage shalom bayis specialist. And what's the complaint? The complaint is there's no reciprocation. I give, and I get nothing back in return. I don't get a thank you. I don't get any feeling of appreciation, any sense of reciprocation. So a person worships a god, and the god is an acher. The god ignores you. The god does not respond. Davar acher elohim acherim shehem acherim lo'ovdehem. Tzayakim aleihem, you cry to the god, ve'einon oinim oisam, and the god does not answer you. V'doimek ki'ilu hu acher It's like the God is an acher she'enoi makiroi me'olam, the God never saw you before. So what does Rashi say here in Parshas Yisro? To translate the word acherim, the God doesn't reciprocate. In his first interpretation, he says, acherim she'enon elohos, elo acherim asoom elohim alehem. Other people made them gods upon them. Rashi doesn't say nations. He says that other people took this object and made it a god upon them. Okay, now, what does the Targum here say in the Aseres HaDibros? In the Aseres HaDibros, in Pasuk Gimel, Lo Yilcho Elohim Acherim Al Ponai, Pasuk Gimel, Lo Yeveloch Elo Ochoron, another god. The Targum in the Aseres HaDibros is vague. He takes the word Acherim and he just translates it in the most vague possible way, others, other gods. He's not giving you any elaboration. But Rashi in the second Pshat at least says these gods are acherim to the people. They're indifferent. They're not responsive to the worshippers. Okay, you cannot ignore the fact that here in Parsha Shoftim it says Vayelech Vayavod Elohim Acherim. The Targum, it's the same exact expression. What it says in the Aseres HaDibros, talking about the Loisase of not just the Loisase. Rashi says this is a bris, a covenant, and Rashi Unkula says, Litovos Amemaya. Acherim means the nations of the world. Okay, so here we have another example where the Targum doesn't take a word or an expression and just literally translates it. He bases it based on the context of the Pasuk, and you know, every single word in the Torah is not to be translated literally. It's all subject to the context of where the word is found. Okay, by the way, before I continue, I just want to make sure. Can you hear me well? Is the sound clear? Is the sound okay? It's good. Okay, good. Just want to make sure. Okay, fine. Okay. All right. So this is, I find this to be very, very interesting, what the Targum here says. Okay, now let's go further in the Targum. Targum says, Usigeid lehein, he bows. Okay, vayishtachu means he bows down, lehein to them, or uleshimsha, the son, o lesehara. That's a very important word. The sehara means the moon. Okay, the moon, in this word, the sehara is used all over. It's used in many different contexts. Okay, we'll leave it with that for now. O lechol chele shemaya. Well, the chele means, what's the chele means? The tzva. What does the tzva mean? The tzva is a very difficult word to translate. We translate it as one of many, either it means host, it means a multitude, but it's also used to refer to an army, right? The Lubavitch, the tzva is Hashem, the army of Hashem. So, The stars and the moon, do you call the stars and the moon an army? Not really. A host. What is a host? It means a collection, an arrangement. A collection, an arrangement, a battalion. Somehow the word tzva, the tzahal, tzva lahagonah liyisrael, right? The IDF is called the Tzahal. The Tzahal. What Tzahal? Tzahal is the Tzva Hagonah LiYisrael. The Tzadi in modern Hebrew, in the Israeli army, stands for the Tzva, the army. Is the word Tzva really mean an army? Not necessarily. It means a collection. Yet the Targum says it does mean an army. The Targum says the Chilei Shemaya. The chayolim, the chayle means the strength, the army, the power. So the Targum is coming to give strength to this approach that the real meaning of the word tzva does really mean an army. And when we borrow this word and we refer to it like a collection of items arranged in a very specific way, like an army, a battalion, that's a borrowed term, not the other way around. Because you can argue that it's the other way around, that really the word tzva means a collection of items arranged in a very specific way, and being that an army in an army, you have soldiers and you have colonels and you have generals, you have a whole hierarchy of people serving in the army, and they're arranged in a certain way. So we borrow the term tzva and we use it in reference to the army. Notice the opposite. The Targum says that the real meaning of the word tzva means the chilei shemaya de la pakedis, I did not command you to worship. Okay, pasuk dalet. Now it's going to be told to you, you're going to hear. The word hugal is a very powerful word. The word hugal is like a haggadah. Vigata levincha bayamahule mar bavurza sa shemli. Vigata levincha. Haggadah has a connotation of a conversation, an elaboration. That's what we use by the little seder. It's not just a quick, like you're reading the news online. You just skim through the headlines. Most people don't read more than the headlines. They just read the headlines. And that's everything they know about the news. Everything that most people know about the news is just the headlines. They don't even bother reading the article. And that's how people have the ability to manipulate your mind by writing a headline that is true, but it's misleading, because they know that the masses will not even bother reading the article. So here it doesn't say that. It says, when you hear about this, there has to be a haggadah, an elaborate discussion as to exactly what this person did. Don't just shoot from the hip. You'll hear the Rashi the Heitev, and it says that you launch an investigation. And if you discover vihine always means the unexpected. Is this an incredible word here in this pasuk? If you look in Chumash, the word hine always, b'liyotzei min haklal, means the unexpected. So why is it unexpected? Because who in their right mind would abandon the Ribbono Shel Olam to worship the sun, the moon, or the heaven? It's unexpected. And it's emes nachon hadavar ne'esesa hato'eva hazaz b'Yisrael. This abomination has been taking place in the Jewish people. Pasuk Dalet in Rashi. Rashi says nachon. Nachon means mechuvan ho'edos. Incredible word. Nachon means, Rashi is giving us a very powerful translation. Nachon means there is more than one person reporting as to what happened. You have at least two people telling you a story. And you listen to one person, and you listen to the other person, and guess what? They're both saying exactly the same thing. That's nachon. Nachon means it matches up. It matches up. You say by a shidduch, the shidduch should be oile yofe. So what does that mean? It means it should have all of the milas of emes through yofe. Emes, v'yatziv, v'nachon. V'yashar, v'neman, v'kayam, v'yahu, v'chaviv, nechma, v'noim, v'narav, adir, v'msugdu, v'kul, v'toiv, v'yofe. All those milas. It should be oile all the way ad yofe. And the second one on the list is emes, yatziv, and nachon. The chosan and kala should be mechuvanim ze eitzel ze. If the chasan does his thing and the kala does her thing, and they're not in sync with one another, then you got trouble. Okay, it doesn't mean they have to be exactly the same, but it means that they have to at least work together to achieve a common goal. Nachon is mechuvanim ze eitzel ze. That's what we learn from this Rashi over here. It's an incredible Rashi how it ties the word nachon. Now let's see the Targum, Pasuk Dalet, V'yischava. The word V'yischava means to relate. Haggadah, there are many, many words in the Torah to describe speech. In Chava, the woman Chava is spelled with a hey. Adam and Chava. And the word Haggadah is translated as Chava, with an aleph. Now, if you're not a maskil, an aleph and a hey don't make much of a difference in pronunciation. It's just a matter of Hebrew versus Aramaic. In Hebrew, usually in Hebrew it's a hey, and Aramaic it's an aleph. That's usually the rule. When you cross the line between Hebrew to Aramaic, you replace the last letter, a silent letter, with from a hey to an aleph. So isn't that amazing that Chava means, is really the translation, the Aramaic, as to talk, Haggadah. It's Nafra, the Chazal say that Hashem. Oh, you see that? My phone fell down because there was a woman listening to what I was saying, and they jeopardized, and they sent a jinx because they knew I was going to say something nasty about them. So the woman went, and they shut down my computer here. It fell on the floor. It's not going to stop me. Chazal say that Hashem gave Noshim 9/10 of Dibur. Okay, Hashem sent down to the world 10 kabin of speech. 9 went to Noshim, and 1 went to Meir Appeldorf. He took the whole thing for himself. 9 went to Noshim, and 1 went to the rest of the world. So
let
you see.
Let's take one, because women.
I can't hear you. You're not clear. You're not clear. Something wrong with your voice. You have two devices on. You have two devices on. You gotta mute one of your devices. What's going on over here? So Hashem, and it's interesting that the word Chava Haggadah, which connotes an elaboration of speech, is in Aramaic is Chava with an Aleph, which happens to be the name of a woman. The name of the very first woman, and Chazal say that indeed Hashem gave a Chava, gave an Isha, the Koyach of Dibor. Hashem gave a Chava, a woman, the Koyach to speak. And it's taka true. Women have a Koyach of Dibor, there's no question about it. Let's go further. Let us proceed. V'yischavo loch v'sishma v'sisba. Very good word. V'sisba means to demand. This is a really great word. V'dorashta. What does it mean to be doyrish? How do you touch the word doyrish? You talk about a person. He's a doyrish organization. Dirshu Hashem bihimatzai. The dirshe Hashem layachshu kol davar. What does it mean, the doyrish? So you think it means that a person is sitting in kollel. He's learning. He davens. No, incredible targum. A doyresh is an aggressive person. The word that the Targum chose to translate the word doyresh means visisba. You know what visisba means? You're a leech. You come and you demand. It's like, you know, the people, they come, the collectors in shul, they don't let up. They come after you, whether you like it or not. They just don't let up. Visisba. It means to be toiver, to demand. A person who's a doyresh Hashem is not a person that's just a nice guy, sits in the back, nech b'bein akelem. Doyresh means visisba. He demands to know. Yus means well. V'ha, and behold, kushta, it's emes. Kevon piskomaya, it says, nochon hadavar, the word, the davar, the piskoma, the report. The report that you've heard is correct. It's Avedas Toevta Hadar B'Yisrael. Now remember yesterday we learned the word Toeva. You see the Targum over here, he's playing games with us. Yesterday, when we discussed about the halacha of an animal that has a blemish, to offer an animal that has a blemish is Kisayavas Hashem Elokechahu. And there the Targum said the word Toeva means Me Rachak. You are distant. It is something that is distant from Hashem to offer a carbon that has a blemish. So why didn't the Targum say the same exact thing over here, that an act that is distant from Hashem has been done by Yisrael? It doesn't say that. In this pasuk he says to'efta. He just translates the word the way it is. He does not give an elaboration. Interesting. Here, he doesn't, I don't know why. I don't know. Over here on the side, he makes that point, what I'm telling him, but he doesn't explain. He just says, Vitzarachin. Why here in this pasuk does the Targum just translate the word, you know, just the same exact word, and only two psukim before, when it said the word to'eva, he went out of his way to say that you're distant, that this is something that is distant from Hashem. There it's se'avas, here it's It's a toeva to say in the word. What's the pshat? I do not know hadob Yisrael. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk ev yod say so you'll take ades or yishahu. So now the rule is you take out this person, you take him out. Or es or yishah hi asher also es atodover haru hazel sherecha to your gates es or ish or es or yishah usikaltom bo avonim v'mesu. And this person has worshipped idols, the sun, the moon, or anything that is not supposed to worship. He'll be taken out to the city, to the gate, the man or the woman, and he will be executed to skila, with stones, vamesu, and they, plural, they shall be put to death. The battle with skila, the way you do skila is not with stones. The way skila is done is you first throw the person off a roof. You throw a person off a three-story building. Okay, it's on the third floor. And you throw him down, and you throw him down head first, and he lands on the ground, and hopefully the impact of landing on the ground will kill him. And just in case he does not die from that, and even if he does die, they then throw upon him stones. So the stones they throw upon him to kill him is after he already falls from a three-story building. Chazal made a calculation that three stories is just enough to kill a person. If you do less than three stories, it's not likely he's going to die. If you do more than three stories, it will be disgusting. He'll be mutilated. The impact for the gravity from falling from more than three stories will be disgusting. And it says in the pasuk, "V'yohavta l're'acha kamaicha, biror lo miso yafe." Don't execute him in a way that his body will be mutilated in the process. Throwing a person off a building head first for more than three stories will result in a mutilation that will be disgusting. Three stories is exactly like Goldilocks. Not too high, not too low. And if that doesn't finish him off, they throw stones upon him. Anyway, throw stones upon him. Let's see. Over here, it's very, 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 very graphic, this thing over here we're talking over here. Pasuk came, the Pasuk over here, we have a little Rashi. The Yod says, so you take out so isha hu el sharecha. Hametargem el sharecha, the targum lisra beis dinoch toye. Anyone who wants to translate the word that you will take him out to beis dinoch. Now that's exactly what it says in the targum. The targum over here, the targum Rashi is coming to start up. He's mamish picking a fight. Many times Rashi. Either he indirectly disagrees with the Targum. Here, the Rashi over here is taking the bull by the horns. He is openly, without any shame, declaring war on Unklus. And he says Hametargim. Now it's not really clear about it because what do you mean? Either what do you mean Hametargim? Either it is the Targum or it's not the Targum. What does Rashi mean? So maybe it means it's not necessarily this Targum. You have to appreciate that there are other Targumim. There are other Targumim. We don't study the other Targumim. We don't even know about them. We only know about Unkelus, and we know about Yonasan ben Uziel, and we know a little bit about Targum Yerushalmi, but there are many more. There are many more Targumim which we don't even acknowledge. Is that nice of us not to acknowledge? Do those Targumim have legitimacy? Are they part of the Mesorah? Are they sacred? Could very well be they are. Yes and no. It's very, very complicated. The people who are really into this type of stuff, I once saw a whole long list of all, I think it's a website. You can go look through all the various Targum. There are a lot of Targumim. We never hear about them. We never, almost, Kimat, never, ever, they never even mentioned anything other than these three Targumim. That's the only way we hear about, but there are others. And Rashi, when he writes of the Hametargim, can very well be that Rashi was addressing these other Targumim, which were part of the Mesorah, or at least were part of the Mesorah. Today, could be we have them, we don't have them, I don't really know much about this. And he is addressing, he's acknowledging there are other translations that were passed down to us. If you Google this, you'll definitely come across a whole collection of Targumim, and you have to be careful because some of them are Apikorsis, some of them are Mamish Apikorsis, but some of them are not. Some of them definitely have a lot of legitimacy. To what degree, I don't know. Unkelus, we know, is sacred, And Yonasan and Uzil is certainly sacred, all sacred in the Targum Yerushalmi, but the other Targumim are a little fuzzy what they are, where they come from, and Rashi is coming to address that. Hametargim El Sharecha, what does it mean, a gate? So a gate can sometimes mean the Bezdin, and sometimes when we talk about the word gate, gate means a city, like we had before. So Rashi declares war on the Targum. Hametargim El Sharecha Lisra to the gate. Beis Dinach Toye is making an error. Why Shekein Shninu El Sharecha Ze Shar She'ovad Boy? We have a Gemara in the Talmud. It tells us that this refers to that he's taken to the gate of the city in which he worshipped an idol. If a person was caught worshipping an idol, he is executed at the city gate of the city where he worshipped the idol. And then Rashi says, maybe not. Maybe the Targum is correct. Maybe those people who are Matargim, the Bezdin, that they kill him in the Bezdin, they are correct. Oy eino ela shar shenidin boy. The answer is, Nemar sharecha lemata. V'nemar sharecha lemal. It says the word sharecha in the Pasuk Beis. Ki motzei v'kirbecha bi'achad she'orecha. And it says here, when they execute him, Sharecha, Ma Sharecha Mulamala Shar She'ovad Boy. It doesn't mean a person walks into Bezdin and he worships idols. That's not what it means. It means a person is found guilty in a city. Af Sharecha Mulamata Shar She'ovad Boy. And therefore, the correct translation should be V'targumay L'kir Veich, to your cities. Okay, just like in Pasuk Beis, it says in the Targum, Are yishtekach beinoch bechado min kirvoch, in one of your cities. Likewise, in Pasuk He, when it says here that he shall be taken and executed and stoned by in the city, it means the city gate, not the gate of the Bezdin. Okay, let's now see the Rashi, the Targum. Targum, Pasuk He. Pasuk says, Visapek yos guvro hahu, O Yos Itisahahi, this man or this woman shall be taken out, the Avadu Yos Piskam Bisha, that has done, the Piskam is the dove that is Bisha, that is shameful, Hodain, Lisra, to the gate, Beis Dinach. Now, I don't know what you have in front of your version, I have in front of my Girsa, here the words, the Beis Dinach, exactly what Rashi says is a Toye. And then I have over here in brackets, Girsas Rashi Likirvoch. Now, I don't know what you have in front of you. Can anyone tell me what you have in front of you? What do you have in your Targum? What do you have in your Targum? Mayor, what do you have? Rav Lezer, what do you have in your Targum? Anyone want to chime in? Okay, so it says over here, we have over here, it says...
I have base, and I lost.
Base what?
I lost
the verse. Pasuk Hey.
Yeah, the Beis Dinach.
Okay, so that's exactly what Rashi says not to say. That's what I have also. I have it also as well. And that's exactly what Rashi says not to say. Yos Guvra or Yos Itisav is Sir Giminun. He shall be. What does it mean? He shall be stoned. Okay, Sir Giminun Be'avnaya Vimusun. Usikaltem. That's a very fascinating word for the word uskaltem. The sir giminun. And over here in this sefer, he explains over here. He actually doesn't explain it. Okay, this. Now the reason why this is so fascinating. I'm so surprised he doesn't do this. He doesn't explain this over here. There's no parish over here. Let me just make sure I'm not making a mistake over here. No, there's no explanation. And the reason why, to me, this is very, very fascinating is because what are we reading? What are we learning over here? We're learning here Targum. What does Targum mean? Targum is the translation I mean, what is Targum? I remember 100 years ago, before we were all born, when they published the art scroll Shas. And you don't remember this, but there was a very big controversy. Not everyone was so enamored with the art scroll Shas, the project, to take the Gemara and to translate it and to make it elusive, to make not everyone was so crazy about it. Okay? I don't know why, but whatever, that's how it is. So I don't want to say who, but I'm not going to go get into politics now, but if you want to go look in one of the Haskamas on the art school Shasta, they don't publish the Haskamas anymore. They only publish the Haskamas in the first volume. When they started printing it, they published the Haskamas in every single volume. They published like 10 pages of Haskamas from all of the American Rosh Yeshiva. And then after it took off, they don't publish anymore. You only find the Haskamas today to the art school Shas from all of the American Russia and all the Russian yeshivas in the very first volume. And you can go look it up. I'm not going to tell you who. Well, there's one Haskama that's very, very long. It's a very long Haskama. And in that Haskama, the person wrote, he wrote a whole Dvar Torah, a whole pilpul, that this cannot be a translation. You cannot translate the Shas. It is impossible. It is forbidden. It is incorrect. Instead, what you're doing is you have to elucidate. And that's where the word elucidation...
You wrote in Hebrew?
He wrote, it's pretty much in Hebrew. Yeah, you have to go look in Brachas. I don't look in... What?
Rav Shach?
No, Rav Shach? He didn't give Haskam on it. Rav Shach wanted to put it in Cherem. Rav Shach almost shut down Art Scroll. He didn't even shut it down. Art Scroll would have had enormous damage from Rav Shach. Rav Shach did not approve of the Art Scroll Shas. And now he did not approve the Art Scroll Shas. He wanted to basically declare it to be Osir. Now, what does that mean exactly? I don't know, because the end would be that they wouldn't listen to him anyway. It'll just take a couple more years. It would have slowed down the process by a couple of years and would have... I don't know what would have happened. But Rav Shach had a lot of power. Had enormous, enormous power. Can't even fathom how much power he had. And if he would come out and state publicly that the art school Shas is... Kineged Kolatar Kula, it would have made a big difference. In the hindsight, we don't understand that. We live in a very different world today, because today there is Mesifta, and there is Lublin, and there is a million other things out there, and there's everything is online. I mean, there's no end to it. I'm not going to get involved. But at that time, we're going back about 30 years, when this project was started, if Rav Shach would have come out strongly and said, I do not approve of this project, I'm telling you, it would have had a major impact at that time. And the American Rosh Yeshivas were very, very upset. And they were literally fighting with him. And they were faxes, I know this firsthand. Those days, they had fax machines. Remember those days? Fax machines? They still have them today? You don't have a fax machine anymore? Fax machines, they were faxing letters back and forth the whole day. And the way the story goes is, when they first told Rav Shach, the American Rosh Yeshiva, they were very gentle. They were very bakovedik. L'chvoid moireinu harav hagoin. Rabban shel kol b'nei Yisrael. You know, in America, it's not so bad. And the answers kept them coming back. It is bad. This is not correct. It's no good. Each subsequent response that came from this side of the Atlantic, going to that side of the Atlantic, was more and more mechutzeftik. When the first letter started out, Chvoid, Moreinu, Rabbeinu, Hagoyin, Ho'adir, Ha'mefursim, Rabban, Shal Kol, B'nei Yisrael. Each subsequent letter, some of the titles were dropped. And the language changed from soft to harsh until the last letter said, "Don't you dare." Very strong, harsh language telling Rav Shach, "Back down. Don't you dare. You don't know what's going on." And the end of the day, Rav Shach said, "Okay, if the American Rosh Yeshivas really believe so strongly that this is a good thing, okay, I'm out. I'm not gonna do anything. Fine, do whatever you want. I see how much it means to you. Okay, I back out." So he backed down, and there are certain Rosh Yeshivas that Art Scroll bent backwards to thank them for saving Art Scroll. I mean, I don't know what that means exactly, because anyway, it would have happened at some point in time. But at the time, it was a big, big deal. Okay, you can't even imagine what it was like 30 years ago. It was a big, big deal. Part of that process of this friction in going forward with this project was to take the Gemara, the Talmud, and to translate it word for word can be very dangerous. It can be a very misleading. You take a word in Aramaic, a sentence, a concept, and you translate it. You can do a lot of damage because each concept in the Gemara requires volumes to really comprehend. So if you make believe that you really got it, you're really doing the students who are studying and living off this, you're really doing them a disservice by watering it down and removing the depth of what it's all about. So to compensate for the danger, one of the Rosh Yeshivas who gave this haskama and was very involved in this whole process, he made a big deal about a certain thing which the Art School accepted, and he told them to use the word elucidation. And if you'll notice, wherever they write about the Art School Shas, it's like part of the vocab, it's part of the fiber of the Art School Shas. They will never ever say that their Art School Shas is a translation, if that word is taboo. They'll always write the word elucidation. The one that gave them that word, who told them that you must use that word, was this one of these Rosh Yeshivas who gave the Haskama, elucidation. Now, what is Targum? The truth is, as we're learning Targum and Rashi, that's really what Targum is all about. The Targum is also an elucidation, because as you see, sometimes the Targum translates the word to after, and yet we learned yesterday the word was Richuk. So every single time the Targum selects a word, he's really giving you a perish. It's hard for us to decipher the depth of the Targum because we're not so familiar with the language. But through Rashi, who very often does elaborate and provides a whole new approach to the Pesukim, and of course the Amori Chazal, and he elaborates, very often you can see that Rashi is coming, really, everything that Rashi says really is built upon the foundation of what the Targum said. So that gives us an appreciation. If Rashi is saying this, what did the Targum mean? So the Targum is an elucidation. It's not a translation. Now here is why I'm telling you this whole long Megillah. Because we're learning Targum all this time, and we have here this word, and the word over here says, U-sikaltem, you shall stone the perpetrator, bo'avonim, the criminal, the person who is the oivev of the zara, with stones, v'meis, they u'sikaltom, b'loshen rabim, u'sikaltom, bo'avonim, v'meis, you shall stone them with stones, and they shall die. Now, by the way, the word u'sikaltom, l'choy, is superfluous. It should say, u'sikaltom, v'meisu. Why does it say usikaltom bo avonim? What is skila? Isn't skila stoning? So why is there repetition? Why is the repetition usikaltom bo avonim? Let the pasuk just say usikaltom vomesu. What's the what exactly does this word mean? I don't know what this word means. When we translate this word, we're brainwashed from the time that we're in kindergarten, Usakaltam Boavonim, we don't even think about it. Oh, Usakalta means the stone, and Boavonim means stones. So you stone the person with stones. Well, oh, thank you very much. That's pretty obvious. The word Usakalta means the stone, so of course you have Av. So why did it say Boavonim? Obviously, when you get a little more sophisticated, the word Usakaltam does not mean the stone. It has nothing to do with stoning. Avonim is the stone. Usakalta means you shall, I don't know what it means, but it means something like make sure the job gets done. Be thorough in being sure that the person, they die through the stones. Okay, there are stones and they're going to die. And Usakalta means take these stones that you have, these stones, and make sure you achieve the goal of executing the person. Now, what is so amazing is, if you look in the Targum, the translation of the word Usakaltam is Visir Geminon. The word Visir Geminon means, is Targum. We're learning the Targum. This is the most important shir, all the shir we ever learned. We're learning about Targum, right? We're learning Targum Onkelos. Targum Onkelos. Targum Yenison Ben Uziel. Targum Yushalmi. What is Targum? You know what Targum is? Skila. What is Skila? It means to stone a person. No, it doesn't. The word Avonim means stones. Vemesu means they'll be dead. So what then does Usakalta mean? What does it mean then? Well, here's the idea. A stone is the most basic building block in this world. Right? That's what it says by Migdal Bovel. In Migdal Bovel, there are no stones. There are no stones. So what do you do? They had to improvise, they had to create, they had to create Levena. A stone. A stone is like the Doimim. Hashem made this world, the whole earth is one big stone. There's a stone, there's a doimim, oh, then there's a tzameach, then there's a chai and a medaber. In this pasuk is, you have stones, and you have a goal. Make sure that the raw material is manipulated and is crafted and is used to produce the desired result. What is Targum? We have raw material. We have the word Isha, Asher Yaseh, Hara. We have words in the Pasuk. The words in the Pasuk are like stones. And we have a goal. The goal is to take these words and bring out its meaning. How do we do that? We do that through elucidation. Translation / elucidation. We're doing a skila. Targum, the meaning of Targum is to take the raw material. There's nothing in this world more raw than a stone. To take the raw material, manipulate it, work with it to achieve the goal. To achieve a goal or a purpose or a function. In this context of the Parasha, we got a person, he has done an Avera, he has to die, so we take stones and we throw it upon him in order to make sure that we achieve that goal, and we call that Skila. In the context of translating a Pasuk, we're taking the raw material, we're manipulating it, we're studying it. We're turning it around, we're throwing it around in order to bring out what it really means. To bring out the opposite of mesu, of death, but of life. Remember, we always had that yesoid about a one word. When you manipulate its vowels, you go mikotze elakotze. You go from one extreme to another extreme. Like the word yishrash, yisharesh. Even the word yiskol, yisakel, it's like one of those words. Yisakel, yiskol and yisakel is to remove the stones. Yiskol, here we have the word targum, is a translation of skila. Skila is to take raw material and to make sure you manipulate it to bring out death. But the translation is to take the raw material and bring out chayim. Ki Torah is chayim. Ki chayim heim lemotso ehem. Torah is chayim to a person who discovers it. When you take the pasuk and you don't know what it means, and you work on the pasuk and you discover the deeper meaning, ki chayim heim lemotso ehem. This is the ultimate skila. Targum is the ultimate skila, but not skila to bring death, but take stones and to manipulate to bring life. Okay, so this shir today is probably the most important shir of all our shir, because this is the word. Visir giminun skila. Skila is targum. Be'avnaya vimusun. And that's extremely relevant to everything that we do in this shir every single day. Okay, everybody, it's late now. It's 8:07. I apologize. I went a little bit over time. Help myself. This is such an incredibly sadistic zach. Have a wonderful evening, and thank you so much for coming and joining me.
Larry, there were 16 people got COVID at a wedding in Borough Park. I think it was at the Palace, because there's a wedding scheduled there for, I think, this coming Monday night, that they moved over to Ateret Chaya. So, you know, try to guess the stuff.
Wait, what happened? What happened? How many people got COVID? How many?
16. Yeah.
How are they? What is their condition?
I don't know. They got positive. That's all it means. It doesn't mean anything. Some people are...
How do they know that they were sick? They had symptoms?
They came home from the wedding and everyone said, I can't smell the roses.
Yeah?
I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah. I sent you something from Nussbaum. You got it? Rav Nussbaum?
I didn't look at it. I saw you sent it.
It's about the Rabbanis. You know, he says, the Paschas Halacha, that